A very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 5th of January 2025, and it's a Sunday class. So we'll be continuing our sharing from this book, the Heart Sutta, lesson 20, page 107. This is based on our second edition. Okay. As usual, we will have our puja chanting. Then after that, we will have our class sharing. Okay, let us now compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then mindfully, we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo bensi si jia moni fo. Namo bensi si jia moni fo. Namo bensi si jia moni fo. Namo guansin pusa. Namo guansin pusa. Namo guansin pusa. Namo amitofo. Namo amitofo. Namo amitofo. Namo milofo. Namo milofo. Namo milofo. Namo yaosifo. Namo yaosifo. Namo Yaosifo. Namo Pusen Pusa. Namo Pusen Pusa. Namo Pusen Pusa. Namo Dizhang Wang Pusa. Namo Dizhang Wang Pusa. Namo Dizhang Wang Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipano Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana veramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara veramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Musavada veramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Sura miraya majapamadatana Veramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect. Triple jam. Buddhang pujemi. Dhammang pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Invocation to the Devas. in this universe, in the entirety, let the dainties or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chiyakawalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammang munirajasa sunantu sakamokkadang Dhamma svanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma svanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma svanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Iti peso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho. Vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati suakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehipaseko opanayiko pachyatang veditabo venohiti Supatipano bhagavato sakkasango Ujupatipano bhagavato sakkasango Nyayapatipano bhagavato sakkasango Samichipatipano bhagavato sakkasango Yadidang chatari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato sakkasango Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkineyo anjali karaneyo Anuttarang punyang ketang lokasati Sadhu Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now we'll continue from where we stopped. Lesson 20, page 107. So, section 1.1 is a recap. Recapitulation and emphasis on previous session. So the previous session, if I may recall, we went through the seven stages of purification, Satta Visuddhi, the seven stages of purification, Satta Visuddhi. So the first three is very important. Sila Visuddhi, which is purification of morality, followed by Citta Visuddhi, which is purification of mind or content of consciousness. Then followed by Ditti Visuddhi, purification of views. Okay. So the first three stages of purification, they are very important. So of the seven stages of purification, we have the first three, which is purification of morality, like what we have gone through, sila visuddhi, followed by purification of mind, citta visuddhi, and finally ditti visuddhi. So these are the stages of cultivation where you need to go through. That's why the purification process is very straightforward when you understand. When you don't understand, it may not be easy. So when it comes to purification of mind, the mind state, initially defilements are very difficult to overcome. So what we need is to develop understanding of the various stages of purification. So stage one, according to the teaching, is morality. So when it comes to morality, it refers to sila. That's why sila visuddhi is purification of our moral conduct, moral value. Yeah. And this is based on like what I have explained earlier on, our right view regards to law of karma. You reap what you sow. The good begets good, the evil begets evil. If you plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. Then if you plant the seed of wholesomeness, you will reap the fruit of wholesomeness. Then what constitutes evil is very important. The three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, they constitute major evils. So when your mind state has these evil roots, they are the roots of all evil, they make you evil. And with that, since your mind, the mundane mind, is a forerunner of all things, mind is chief, when this mind arises, all things arise. That's why the nature's law, law of karma, you reap what you sow, take effect. That's why the Buddha, under the fifth daily contemplation, he expressed it very clearly. All living beings, not only living beings, all living beings, we are all born of our karma. Heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. So we need to take care of karma. So to take care of karma, we need to follow the advice of the Buddha. So the first advice is sabba papasa akaranam, means all evil is to be avoided. Yeah. So what constitutes evil? You need to read it out to understand it. The three evil roots. Break them down. Then this purification process of morality starts. So when you know certain things we do in life, especially through our action, speech and thought process, if we don't have this right view with regards to law of karma, then we will get ourselves entangled and suffering will arise because you create through your own delusion or ignorance, karmic negativity, born of the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. So every speech, action and thought process that we arise as a human being or as a living being, it has moral implication, or what we call effect on the world and others. So this moral causation is what we call karma, the law of karma. So when you understand this, that is the beginning of purification, means you need to avoid all evil. We are developing mindfulness to be aware of our thought process, our mental intention behind our thought process. then since your mental intention within your thought process condition your action and speech, and how they actually manifest as moral causation leading to karmic implication. That part is very important. So when we understand all this, we will know how to cultivate. That's why the advice of the Buddha, in order to make things simple, how do we avoid all evil? He helped you by coming out with a minimum 5 precepts. He said you can undertake the training rule to abstain from doing these 5 things, or from violating these 5 precepts, then you can avoid all evil. We are violating all these precepts constitute major evil. So you have to keep your precept. Ability to maintain and keep this precept will give rise to virtue, because a person who keeps the precepts has virtue. That's why it's one of the 10 meritorious conduct. Keeping your precepts, sila, having sila. And this sila can shine forth. Yeah. So when you have this understanding, then you recite Panatipata Viramani Sikapadang Samadhyami. The meaning is, I undertake this training rule. That's why training rule. We are cultivating mindfulness to abstain from killing and causing harm or suffering to fellow living being. So the ability to do that is very important. The training rule to avoid, to abstain from killing and causing harm or mental suffering or physical suffering to fellow living beings. So that is the first precepts. If you do that, means you can avoid the negativity of karma or moral causation that can give rise to karmic negativity that will transform into karmic friction. So if you kill or cause suffering and misery to fellow living beings, then based on the law of karma, the friction of it, you become the victim. People will in turn harm you and cause suffering and misery in you. So abstaining from killing and causing harm and suffering to fellow living beings is a very good way of abstaining from committing evil. That's why keeping of precept is the first stage of purification. Sila visuddhi, purification of moral values. So likewise, the precept is tailored in such a manner that the second precept, third precept, fourth precept, and fifth precept follow. So second precept is I undertake the training rule to abstain from stealing or taking things that doesn't belong to me. Yeah, because the effect of that can be very severe. Then after that, the third precept is undertake the training rule to abstain from sexual misconduct. Means if you are going through life, you cannot commit certain moral misconduct which is not allowable. For our society is like, especially during the ancient day tradition, it is more towards if you are not married, you cannot have extramarital, what they call, activity that is against the legal fraternity's rule. So in the olden days, these are very what they call conservative society, where they stress a lot on this. And you can be punished or prosecuted for doing that, like committing adultery, or having what they call sexual misconduct to people that you're not supposed to do, even like rape and all those things. Then number four is undertaking the training role to abstain from lying, deceiving, or coming out with all the appropriate wrong speech, the speeches that are considered not proper. Means telling lie, backbiting, frivolous speech, and also there is another one, harsh or violent speech. Yes, so these are the four types of wrong speech that can give rise to evil. So telling lie, of course, is motivated by selfishness. Then harsh speech is motivated by anger or hatred or violent. Then backbiting is also selfish, with ulterior motive to deceive, to cheat, or to instigate and brings about unnecessary misunderstanding and conflict and other things. Then finally, of course, frivolous speech, we may think it's a joke or you take it lightly, but some people may take it very differently, and it can give rise to tremendous harm or suffering to people. Then that can give rise to a lot of complication when it comes to relationship. Then the last one is, of course, we undertake the training rule to abstain from taking intoxicant drugs and other things, alcohol, that can intoxicate our consciousness or make our consciousness weak down. So when your consciousness is affected, it can give rise to heedless living, and that can cause you to break all the other precepts. That's why this is the most dangerous, the fifth precept, in partaking intoxicant or what we call alcohol, drugs and all those things that can cause the mental consciousness to deteriorate and brings about karmic negativity or downfall. Okay, so once we have dealt with the first purification, which is Sila Visuddhi, then we move on to the second one, which is Chitta Visuddhi, purification of mind. So under Chitta Visuddhi, we need to be ever mindful of our mental intention. So mental intention is very important. So purification of mind or Chitta Visuddhi constitutes the mindfulness or awareness to be aware of the content of consciousness, especially when it has the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. We are an awareness of how it arises to condition one into negativity, karmic negativity, then how to root them out. We have wisdom to develop the wholesome mind state. So when we know that this constitutes evil, that's why we need to arise the understanding to overcome them. So how do we overcome them? That one, there are five ways that the Buddha has taught us. And the third and the fourth is most important. First and second are still thought-based. But they can be initial skillful means where you can apply. So let's say, if you are mindful and you know the unwholesome mental intention or thought has arisen, means there is selfishness, there is greed, there is covetousness, desire or craving, or there is the evil roots of hatred, envy, jealousy, and even what we call selfishness, to deceive, to actually become violent. So envy, jealousy, and hatred can give rise to violent behavior. And that violence can lead to killing and harming. That's why it's a what they call spin-off from the evil roots. Then the other one is through delusion. When your content of consciousness has this delusion, sakkariti, then the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, they will manifest. And delusion is mainly manifested through fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, because you lack understanding. So it's not so much of greed and hatred, it's not understanding. That's why it will condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your insecurity, your phobia. So all these are the manifestation from the evil roots of delusion. So according to the teaching, you know that these are evil roots, roots of all evil. When they manifest in your mind state, means within your content of consciousness, it will make you evil. Then it will condition you to commit evil and give rise to karmic negativity. Then through the law of karma, you will suffer and become the victim in the future. So all this understanding will make you determined to root it out, means to abandon it. So the four right effort, actually the first two right effort can help one to develop the training. First is the right effort to abandon whatever wrong thought, wrong speech or wrong action that has arisen. When you are mindful that they have arisen, how do you abandon them? This one, in the teaching, the Buddha taught five ways. The first is to radiate or think of the opposite wholesome thought. Like when there is anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, then you think of loving kindness. So the opposite wholesome thought will help you overcome them. Then when there is greed, there is selfishness, you must reflect and contemplate on contentment, on what they call loving kindness, to overcome the negativity of mind state. Loving kindness and contentment are very good virtue for overcoming anger, hatred, lust, craving, selfishness, etc. Then after that, you have what they call fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity. All these mind states, you need to reflect on the opposite wholesome mind state. So instead of having fear, you must develop the faith in the Buddha and his teaching. That's why when you have faith, sadha, it makes you calm, makes you peaceful. There is no more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety, no more insecurity. So all this can be cultivated. But normally it's not so effective or efficient. But every time you got such mind state, you need to sit in a quiet corner and reflect on the opposite wholesome mind state. That's why in the early days of the Buddha's teaching, he always start with metta bhavana. He teach the cultivator to develop more and more metta, loving kindness. Then later on you reflect on compassion, the four Brahma Vihara, sympathetic joy, equanimity of mind. Then also on contentment, gratitude. So all these are simple but effective virtue for you to develop the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the calm, wholesome state of mind without negativity. So think of the direct opposite wholesome state is a practice where you do initially. Then when you have more and more of this, normally it will help you overcome your what they call negative tendency from the past. That's why a person who radiate love and metta a lot, rejoice a lot, and have great compassion in their heart, they don't have so much negativity of mind state. And especially those who cultivate until their mind become very calm, very peaceful, very quiet and very still, then there are stability of mind, we call samadhi, which can give rise to equanimity. Then that mind does not stir, does not waver. It becomes collected and unmoving. So all this can give rise to the four Brahma Vihara state that can help you overcome negativity of mind state. But in life, we have to live life, we have to interact with society, with fellow living beings, to have relationship and all those things. So we cannot be just sitting quietly to radiate all this good mind state. We need to interact. So when we interact, we will be affected by all this so-called worldly condition, the 8 worldly condition, and the what they call nature's law that governs life and existence. So all this, they will manifest. And if you lack wisdom, understanding, your mind will stir, your mind will react to sense experience. Then it will give rise to this so-called wrong thought or the duality that create the movement. We call it the stirring of the mind. So when your mind stir or you become reactive to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile, you feel and think, then this movement actually create the karmic negativity. That's why it gives rise to like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. And these are the evil roots of sensual desire and ill will. Or we call it the part of the 5 mental hindrance that will hinder our mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness and inner awareness. So sensual desire, where you attach and cling on to positive mind state, pleasant mind state, all these are mental hindrance. Then negative craving or negative desire, We call it aversion or dislike or unpleasant sense experience. This will also manifest and is also one of the mental hindrance. So when you do this a lot throughout the day, with every moment of sense experience, you stir your mind, you react to sense, you create the sensual desire, and you will. This will end up becoming very habitual. And when you become habitual, means throughout the day, you are reacting, stirring your mind, and creating all this mental hindrance. Then how can you meditate? How can you have a chance to enter the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness? That is a mental hindrance. It will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. So this understanding is very important, very vital. Yeah. Then after that, the second way to abandon unwholesome thought is to reflect on the consequence of holding on to this evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. When you hold on to them, it will make you evil. Where they are the three evil roots, root of all evil. So you will have to determine strongly through an understanding that these are very dangerous evil root or mind state. My life, if I choose to be happy, I should be happy. So if I choose to avoid all evil, then I must do something to it. Means I must determine strongly to abandon it. Yeah, I see the danger. The danger of not abandoning it. The danger of allowing it to stay in my citta or mind state, content of consciousness. Especially anger and hatred, jealousy, envy, and also selfishness, craving, desire, lust. So all these, they can manifest and become very, very evil. So the consequence of it is very serious. So when you see the danger of all this, then you determine that you have to abandon it. Yeah. Then it will lead you to the third cultivation. The third cultivation needs understanding. The Buddha said, if you are mindful and you are aware, all these evil roots, greed, hatred, and delusion, or negativity of mind state or mental intention, they arise through your wrong thought, sakkayaditi, especially sakkayaditi, self-delusion. Where you believe you exist, then you cling on to the egoic mind that manifests the personality, which give you a sense of self, the me and the I. And through that, you develop selfishness, craving, envy, jealousy. Then, through delusion, you create your own fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. So seeing this, you must develop the understanding of the universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta to liberate it. So what the Buddha is trying to explain to you is all this that manifests, they come from your wrong view or wrong thought. So to reverse that, you need to develop the wisdom. Yeah. Means craving, positive and negative, selfishness, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow or lamentation, anger and hatred, fear. They are not intrinsic in you. They are dependent originating mind state based on your wrong view. So seeing that, understanding that, then what must you do? Like the Buddha said, the third way is to just maintain awareness. Just from this pure awareness nature, We create the mundane thinking. We create the stirring of the mind, the reaction, and the various type of mind state with the evil root manifest. Means all this arising are triggered off by the wrong thought that condition their arising. So this is wisdom. And when you know that they are not intrinsic, means you don't have to do anything about it. Anger was never me. Anger, selfishness, craving, fear, worry, anxiety, these are dependent originating mind state. If they are not me, then why must I worry about it? Why must I say I still have anger? I still have hatred. I still have craving, lust, desire. These are mind state that are conditioned. From the void, the primordial, there was none. Before there was anger, there was no anger. Before there is craving, desire, there was no craving. So our true mind, the silent mind, the pure awareness nature, has none of all this. All these mind state that surface with the evil roots, they are dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. They are not intrinsic within the true mind, the pure mind. So knowing this, what we need to do is, the third way is to maintain awareness. When you maintain awareness and don't feed that thought process with any more wrong view, wrong thought, karmic negativity, then what happens is everything that already manifests will cease to be, because they are dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. Without causes, they cannot arise. So to cease the causes is to not allow any more wrong thought to go in. No more craving, no more desire, no more analysis, no more explanation, or what we call reasoning. So when you don't analyze and reason, everything go back and return to its original state of tranquility, stillness, and what they call silence within. That's why the true mind is the silent mind, the pure awareness within, the tranquil, still state. So tranquility and stillness are the hallmark of our true mind. When we are in that state, there is no fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lament, no evil root, nothing. So just allow the mind to be. Means relax, maintain awareness, and let it settle down. Yeah. So like the example given by J. Krishnamurti, the very flowering of that thought is the very ending of that thought or that emotion, the content of consciousness. It can be anger, hatred, craving, desire, lust, or what. It will cease. Even phobia, fear. Yeah. So, ability to be aware and be with that state and seeing it clearly and observing it clearly, how it sees, is very important. When you realize the mind returned this original state of tranquility and stillness, then you realize we are not doing anything. Just remain aware. Everything ceases. Then your mind no more agitated. No more movement. No more stirring. No more reacting. No more of all this movement that leads to negativity of mind state. And that's how you free your mind. So this third way is a very good way to meditate and to develop the wisdom. Then when you realize all this are dependent originating mind state, means they are impermanent. They come and they go. They arise and they pass away. And because they are impermanent, following nature's law, you want things your way, you suffer. That's how suffering comes to be. That's why sabbe sankara anicchang, impermanent. Sabbe sankara dukkhang, evil lead to suffering. And because they come and they go, there is no permanent unchanging entity behind their existence. Then you start to realize the empty nature of existence, or the non-self, not a permanent unchanging entity. It cannot be self, because it's dependent originating, condition arising. So that observation through the third way is very important. That is the beginning of wisdom, beginning of the understanding of the three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkhang, and anatta. Then after that, the fourth way is to stabilize the wisdom. The fourth way is to trace the origination factor. Before you get angry, before there was fear, there was no fear. Then how did the unarisen mind state of fear, anger, or craving arise? It's through one of your senses. When you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, or tactile feel something, or you recall to memory, then your mind react or stir. That's how all these mind state arise. When you hear something abusive, you become angry, you become unhappy. When you hear something like that you don't like to listen to, you also can develop the unhappiness, means you become like affected, just like a bad news. Suddenly the news came, something happened related to your loved ones, or maybe your business, or even something that affects your life. So through this, if the news is negative, it can affect a living being, especially human being. That's how all this, if you are mindful, aware, you can trace the origination factor. Means, how did anger arise? Before there was anger, there was none. It's through one of your sense experience that attach and cling on to what you perceive through your senses. It can be through your hearing, through your seeing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought process, memory. Yeah. Then when you trace the origination factor, then you realize they are dependent originating. Because of your wrong view, you perceive it with negativity. That's why you stir, you react. That mind state arise. So after observing, you develop the understanding, then you ask yourself, how can I not react and stir in the future? Means develop the wisdom to retrospectively reverse all this movement. Yeah. So that one, if you were to do it on your own, it would take you a long time to develop the understanding. But what I have taught you actually can help you simplify the understanding. That's why I teach you to go back to the teaching. What did the Buddha teach to develop the wisdom to overcome all this? He said, learn to see things as they are. Jnana dasana, the direct knowledge and vision of the reality. When you can see things as they are, then you develop the wisdom. Yeah. Means, whatever you come to perceive through your senses, they are just the way they are. Why? Because the Buddha said, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. It can be law of karma, law of dependent origination, or paticca samuppada. So when you understand that, you have to accept when causes and conditions is already set, things will go that way, cannot be otherwise. So learn to see things as they are, means thing is just the way it is. Deluded people do deluded things. Selfish people do selfish things. Ignorant people do ignorant things. The world is the world. Condition like that, things be like that. At the end, you become different. Then you can accept people or the worldly situation for the way it is. Yeah. Then everything become like acceptable to you. You can be at peace. They are just the way they are. Condition like that, things be like that. Based on their negativity of mind state, they will do things following that negativity. That's why deluded people do deluded things. Selfish people do selfish things. Angry people, violent people do violent things. They are just the way they are. And the world is the world. When you can have this type of understanding, stability of understanding, when you can see it very clearly through the Dhamma awakening, then you can develop the equanimous mind state to be at peace with all situations in life, no matter what happens, no matter who you meet, who you confront, whatever life situation, you can be at peace. And when you can be at peace, that is the beginning of wisdom. Yeah. Because whatever happens in life, I always advise, never get angry. Never be like panicky or reactive. Yeah. If you don't do this, means you can come to terms with the reality to be at peace. And when you are at peace, you don't blame, you don't get angry, you don't develop fear, worry, anxiety. Your mind state is tranquil, still. You are calm, peaceful. Then you are with your true mind. Then there is clarity. When there is clarity, there is no confusion. Then you can reflect, contemplate what actually happened. Then how can I resolve all this amicably so that I can move on, so that nobody get hurt and no one get harmed. That is how you cultivate noble eightfold path that will bring about the end of all suffering. From right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right way of living your life, then you arise at appropriate four right effort, which I have taught earlier on. Then, from there, develop what we call the right mindfulness and samadhi to develop the ability to see things as they are, to awaken to the universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, and anatta, and to free your mind. So that's how we can actually develop the purification of mind, citta. Okay? So with that, we will move on to the third stage of purification, which is ditti visuddhi, purification of view. So this one is to arise the right view with regards to the law of karma, like what I have explained earlier on. Then the Four Noble Truths with its three turning, and the law of paticca samuppada. And to cultivate the rest of the Noble Eightfold Path factors. So know the difference between right and wrong view to develop the true understanding according to reality and to see things as they are. So this one is a more stable summary of what I explained under citta visuddhi. After you have developed the understanding of citta visuddhi, means you can purify your mind state, then you can straighten your view. Yeah, all this right view is a result from there. That's why from sila visuddhi, or what we call moral causation, purification of moral values. That is the first stage. Then after that, you learn to see the content of consciousness, to be sensitive, to be mindful, to be aware of the wrong thought, wrong action, and wrong speech. Yeah. Then from there, cultivate the four right effort, the five way to overcome or abandon them, and allow them to cease, especially the third and the fourth way, so that you develop the wisdom to be at peace with all situation and all condition that manifests in life. Then through that, you can straighten your views. Yeah. Then after that only, you move on to the other stages of purification. The fourth purification is by overcoming doubt. Means you will develop the cultivation until there is no more doubt. No more doubt with regards to the defilements of insight. There are 10 defilements of insight that can trap the cultivator or practitioner. Yeah. But these are very beautiful mind state. That's why it's called the defilements of insight. It's actually an insight, but you attach to it, you cling onto it, and it becomes a defilement. So like when you cultivate until your mind state suddenly become so bright, so clear, so tranquil, so still, and you are mindful most of the time, then suddenly the thought tell you, oh, I must have progressed. Then they say, the Arahant is ever mindful. The mindfulness is more or less perfect, continuous. So that thought is a defilement of insight, make you complacent, make you think that you have achieved, you have realized. Maybe you are a Sotapan now, or a Sakadagami. Or sometimes you may think you are already Arahant, and other things. Then you want to teach, you want to share, you want to do a lot of things. But then when you came up to actual society to do this work, then you realize you cannot cope. Then you get yourself entangled. Then you realize you haven't rooted out even the very basic emotion that can be triggered off when you interact with people, society, and try to do all this work. So that is the time they will realize that they are far from what they think. So this defilement of insight can actually be a problem. So this purification by overcoming doubt, which demands a lot of cultivation, persistent cultivation and understanding, need to be developed over certain period. By the time you really complete, it may take a while. So this overcoming the defilement of insight, the 10 defilement of insight that binds the cultivator to complacency and misguided belief of realization is very important. Yeah. Then sometimes they may see nimitta, or they may have certain psychic ability. Then they see vision. Then they go and read up or ask people. Then they may be told that, oh, this one is your past life, or you can see this, you have special psychic ability. Yeah. So all this can deceive the cultivator. That's why I use the word trap them in complacency and misguided belief of realization. So purification by overcoming doubt need stability of understanding and relatively long period of what they call meditative training and success. When you have gone through enough, then you will come to understand what are the things that can lead to doubt, lead to complacency, misguided belief or realization. So all this is the fourth stage of purification, of overcoming. And this one take a while, take a while. Then after that, after you come out of this, then it's easy. Then the fifth stage is purification by knowledge and vision of what is path and what is non-path. This one is relatively easy. Then during this time, you will know the non-path or not path leads to delusion, complacency, misguided belief or realization, and suffering. Whereas path leads to clarity, non-negativity, means no longer have arrogance, no longer have the ego, then it leads to true peace and tranquility of mind states, of wisdom. And then you know you are on the right path. Then you continue with your purification. Then from purification by knowledge and vision of what is path and non-path, you will step into the sixth stage of purification by knowledge of vision of the way. Means the way, the cultivation become very clear to you. Or in Pali, they call it Jnana Dasana Visuddhi. Means it lead to the realization of enlightenment, born of the direct seeing and the direct knowledge and vision of the way things are, without thought. Means the pure awareness surface, and you can develop the direct seeing, and that wisdom that dawn or be realized, no need to ask anybody. That's why it's pachetang on. Can be realized by the wise each for themselves. Then after that, you move on to the final purification of knowledge and vision. No longer of the way, you awaken. Means you realize the realization and enlightenment born of the direct seeing or direct knowledge and vision of the way things are without thought. The number six one just now I skipped. I didn't read the whole thing. Purification by knowledge and vision of the way is different from the seventh one, which is purification by knowledge and vision without the way. This one is the way is Patipada Jnana Dasana. Means after understanding the path, what is path and non-path, one cultivates accordingly to realize the vision of the way. Means you continue with the one that you understand, which is path, until it stabilizes. Then you realize the enlightenment, which is following the vision of the way. Then only you transcend to the direct seeing, direct knowledge and vision of the reality. Then since meditation as taught by the Buddha is a noble eightfold path, so if one's meditation does not lead us or one back to the cultivation of the noble eightfold path via heedfulness and sati as taught by the Buddha, then it is not the Buddhist meditation as taught by the Buddha. If after having experienced a fantastic meditation experience, one may think one is already enlightened, but if one's action, speech and thought process are still very crude and with a lot of wrong view and delusion, then one must check what type of enlightenment is that. So this one is based on the previous lesson. So now I go back to our lesson 20, where we have a recap. So the seven stages of purification are important cultivation, especially so the first three which I have gone through. Sila Visuddhi, Chitta Visuddhi, followed by Ditti Visuddhi, which are the purification of morality, purification of mind or content of consciousness, and purification of views. Then we move on to 1.2. With precepts and samadhi complete and bright, the pearl light appear. So this is from the Shenhua's commentaries. Eh? So here in bracket I put there, the pearl light refers to the relics of the enlightened one. So this one is relatively easy to understand. So when you keep your precept and develop stability of samadhi, it means with precepts and samadhi complete and bright, the pearl light appear. Means your bodily bones and formation, they become relics. Understand? So the pearl light refers to the relics of the enlightened one. Then the wisdom which is within you, how do you meet it? So Shenhua suggested in the commentary, he said, to realize the wisdom which is within, you have to put down your upside down mind. Because this is a direct translation from the Mandarin, Tian Tao. If you read it literally, it's not easy to understand. It should be actually your inverted wrong view or wrong thought. Then, of course, Shenhua put it in his own way, which is a direct translation from the Mandarin. Upside down mind. And let go of the false thinking. Wang xiang. Or we call it the heedless thinking. Then earnestly work hard at your meditation. Here in bracket, false thinking mind is the mundane mind or deluded heedless mind. It's not your true mind. So this one is just to have the understanding. What is important is you must understand that thought-based meditation doesn't lead to realization. It leads to more knowledge. Whereas awareness-based meditation, where you develop the silent inner awareness, stabilize it to develop the direct seeing and to awaken and to develop the meditative understanding through the silent observation of what is, that is the true cultivation. So you cultivate according to that, then you will awaken. That's why all this description about put down your inverted false thinking or delusion, wrong thought, etc. is just an explanation, literally. But to realize it, you need to go through the silent mind, the true mind, the awareness nature. That's why without the pure awareness, sati, or mindfulness, you cannot awaken, you cannot develop the wisdom. False thinking will be there. It's only when you got no more heedless thinking, false thinking, sankhara activity very active, then you cannot transform. You can only transform when everything returns to its original state of tranquility and stillness through the silent mind, the silent observation of what is the reality that manifests will give rise to understanding. Then you will come to know clearly who are you, what are you, and how you function as a living being, how you stir and react to sense experience and create the evil roots that condition your karmic negativity. You see them very clearly. How anger arises in you, how fear arises in you, how sorrow and lamentation arise in you, how to wrong perception you grasp cling and create your own suffering, then how you entangle yourself through your senses when you don't have the wisdom, the Dhamma understanding. So all this can only be understood through mindfulness, silent inner awareness training. Okay, we move on to part 3, which is meditation. 3.1, how to develop the meditation. So this one, in the initial day, I need to teach in this format or this manner. At that time, most people don't understand. So I didn't go much into the awareness. Yeah. So what I say here is, to develop the meditation, the body and mind must be in harmony. And that one is very important. Means there must be no stress or conflict within the body and mind. There must be harmony. Yeah. That is, they must both be in a relaxed state and at ease. Means our body and mind must not have stress, problem, fear, worry, anxiety, or injury, or whatever. Oh, you need a healthy body. Yeah. You need a body that is in perfect harmony. Means in a relaxed state and at ease. Means no disease, nothing. Otherwise, it's not easy. So here, at ease means no stress, no tension, no tightness within the physical body. See, means you are in good health. Yeah. Then, at the mind level, no fear, no worry, no anxiety, restlessness, etc. Even insecurity and phobia within the mind. Which means both body and mind are completely relaxed and at ease. If you can do that, you will meditate very well. Yeah. The stress and tension within the physical body and mental arise because of one's heedless living, via lack of mindfulness or attentiveness to live life. Means within our daily life, if we are not mindful, which means we are most of the time heedless, we think a lot, we worry a lot, we react to sense experience all the time, with lack of understanding, lack of Dhamma understanding. So when you do that, the heedless living will arise, because human beings tend to have a lot of problems. Then when you have a lot of problems, what you do? You go and think, you develop more and more fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. So they worry so much to the extent that they worry about their children, their education, their children's education, their finance, their education and their future. They also worry about their own health problem, their career and work-related problem, relationship with their loved ones, their financial problem, their investment, their business, their wealth and possession, etc. These are the reasons why the Buddha said, to meditate, one must keep one's precept, to avoid all the evil, so that one's karma is taken care of. We are less heedless living. Hence, this is the reason why the Buddha has advocated the following cultivation. Sila, Samadhi and Panya. So this order is very well organized. Because from Sila, or what we call morality, to keeping of precept, Samadhi kicks in, and from Samadhi, wisdom arises. That's why Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. Then it's expanded further through dana, sila, and bhavana. Actually, dana is a very good parami. Dana is generosity. To build up the parami for goodness to arise. So without proper dana parami, you may not have the good condition or conducive condition for you to arise as a human being or a living being, to have the good conducive condition to cultivate the Dhamma, to develop the cultivation and understanding. So dana parami is very useful, because through this dana parami, you will receive a lot of what we call benefits. Yeah. When you have a lot of dana parami, when you are very generous, you reap what you sow, wealth come back to you. Your generosity will bring you good wealth and good condition to own things, to have things. So with dana, it will give rise to more conducive situation for the cultivator to actually have a good life with less karmic negativity, with less poverty, with less need for support and all those things. The dana parami is very useful. Then when you have dana parami, you don't have to cheat, deceive, and do all those negative things. Just somehow, wealth and money will come to you. And you will have more than enough, not only to sustain yourself and your family, but to have the good life, yeah? And very conducive condition and environment, yeah? To have the good life and to cultivate. So with dana parami developed, that is easy to keep your precept because you have less problem. Yeah. Then when you keep your precept because of your dana parami, you have much less dependency on others for support and all those things. So you can really like retire or semi-retire to do the thing that you like to do in life. That's why cultivation become relatively simple, easy. Yeah. And you can take your own leave, or sometimes no need to take leave because you are semi-retired. You can decide when you want to go for retreat or cultivation. Then when you understand further, you develop the daily mindfulness to cultivate within life itself. So all this can be very conducive, and it can come about through having all this good understanding from the past, if you have cultivated before. Just like this life, by nature, when it arises, I realize everything is there, everything is self-sufficient, and the causes and conditions are very conducive. Since I was very young, at the age of 16 or 17, I started my search for truth to develop the understanding of life and, of course, to develop the realization of the teaching. Yeah. At that time, I didn't know what was the truth. But the condition was such that I was ready and I can probe. Then I have good karmic inheritance. So when I was born, my parents, they really provided the things that I need. Then I have relatively good life. Food and shelter, not a problem. Education also not a problem. Although I grew up in a less, affluent locality. But good enough for me because it was a simple village, where I had have most of the thing, then my parents were very supportive of me. Food, shelter, not a problem. Education, not a problem. Then I grew up. Then when I grew up, everything also fall into place. When the time come, you just know how to probe and move. Then by the time I was form 4, form 5, I remember after I know science, math, geography, my nature starts to move, start to probe. And I become very different. I inquire a lot at that time. And my mother also helped me in many ways because he has faith in Kuan Yin. Then a lot of things happen. Then once your sila is in place, I realize you have less problem. Then when you have less problem, your mind state, samadhi, kick in. Because when you have less problem, nothing to haunt you and all things, you can just relax, maintain awareness and develop the cultivation. Then because there was no coming obstruction, I really went on very smoothly. That search for truth was a fairly easy journey. Then a lot of things just fall into place and it's like meant to be. Then bhavana, which is part of samadhi leading to panya, they also manifest. So from sila, the mind become collected and unwavering, and it develops tranquility, stillness, the silent mind, leading to what we call samadhi. So samadhi once developed, sati and samadhi allow one to see things as they are clearly. Then when you can see things as they are, you will awaken. That's why wisdom will manifest. The understanding will unfold. So all this take its course. So dana, sila, bhavana. Bhavana is two part. It consists of both samadhi and panya. So sila, samadhi and panya, you add in dana at the top. It becomes dana, sila, bhavana. So it's the same. Okay, we stop here. We stop here. 3.2, okay? I think it's about 4:26. We need to have our meditation. We will have our 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Okay? So we will off the light so that you can have your 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation to train your mind to develop the inner mindfulness leading to stability of it. Then use it to meditate. So the awareness-based meditation, if you want to know more, you go and read the last two books. One of them is The Ultimate Realization to Transcend Life, and the other one is Path to Nibbana, Awakening via Cessation of Form and Mind. So read through these two books. They are meditative section. It's very clearly explained how to develop it. Remember the four support, that's it. Relax, maintain awareness, stabilize the awareness. Then the last support is trust. Trust your nature to develop the meditative movement on its own. Means no more interference from the thought process. Okay. Now I will set the alarm and you can have your own meditative training, 45 minutes. You can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Then try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay, now we'll continue our second session, which is meditation reporting. followed by whatever question you may have regarding the teaching, the meditation, or anything that you need to develop as understanding so that you can apply the teaching to help you understand life's problem and solve or overcome any life problem.
Brother T, I just have a question. Okay, I just want to ask you, like during meditation, of course, sometimes like your mind is still very active. Do I focus do I focus on my breathing?
Okay.
Do I just focus on the thought?
I'll explain it to you, huh? Let's see.
Okay.
You see, most people, they don't really understand how to develop the tranquil and still mind or quiet mind like you experience. The mind tend to like have a lot of thinking, non-stop thinking. Then most people will advise the cultivator or meditator to use something to anchor the mind. So like you mentioned, should you focus or should you go to the breath? Yeah. So the instruction is always given to the cultivator. Either you note the breathing, the in and out breath, but according to the teaching, the Buddha actually advised cultivator of the way to be mindful. The word should be mindful. Mindful of the in and out breath means you can go to the breathing and maintain mindfulness there. Then the instruction is very simple. Breathing in, aware, mindful. Breathing out, aware, which is also mindful. So when you can be attentively following your breath, means mindful of your in and out breath, you become peaceful and calm very fast, very fast. But most people are not trained. So what they do is, they try to use their thought to note the breathing. So when they do that, they find that it is not synchronized. It's like very fast. It's like the thought come in, and they get distracted, means they become lost in thought again. They cannot stay at the breath. So what happened is, all these are what we call object of meditation, developed as a skillful means for cultivator of the way to anchor their mind so that their mind does not wander off and get lost in the thinking process. We call it the heedless thinking. That this mind, you don't anchor it to something, it will wander off and do its own habitual thinking, the very wild thinking. And depending on how you actually understand the mind, most people will just develop the habit through their senses. Sometimes they're too tired, they will try to sleep. Then sometimes they are very active, they will think a lot. Then every moment of sense experience, sometimes it can be the hearing, smell, taste, or tactile, or thought process, they will develop further perception, thinking, perception, thinking, reaction to sense experience. And they create a lot of story inside there, because these are the habitual thinking, habitual mental activity or movement that most lay people, without a trained mind, they will think a lot. So to meditate, they come up with methods and techniques to anchor the mind. So I call this the skillful means to anchor the mind and to train the mind. So some, they ask you to focus, which is also one of the methods. But when you focus, you like focus at a small space. Sometimes they say focus at the breath. So they develop the point around the breath there. Then they focus there and they do the breathing in and breathing out. But as they do that, they also draw in and breathe out. Draw in and breathe out. So indirectly, there is also anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out. And at the same time, there is also a focusing. So what happens if you do that, that focusing can become quite strong and it can absorb into that point. Then you feel very calm initially when you can do it. You feel very calm. Then that calmness starts to develop and the energy will also build up. Well, wherever you locate your mind, the thought or what we call the consciousness and the content that is there will develop the energy. So people experience a lot of what they call focusing type of energy, which we call energy field meditation or thought-based focusing. Yeah. So if you do that, chances is it becomes one-pointedness. One-pointedness means everything that you focus, it end up on that object of meditation, and that become your what they call focusing point. Then that focusing, if you do it until it become very, I should say, very well trained, then that focusing itself build up the energy. Then you develop one-pointedness and you experience a few jhanic factors. And the most common one is you feel the mind becoming peaceful, calm, then you experience piti. Piti is normally the first, what they call, spiritual calmness that will arise. So when this spiritual calmness arises, it gives rise to a type of joy. They call it spiritual joy. You feel very peaceful and there's a joy inside it. Yeah. Then the first time you experience it, you like it. You want to look for it to be repeated and all those things. Then later on, as people develop more and more practice and training, they focus more. Then they realize they can stay at the breath. Or sometimes if you use rising, falling, which is the Burmese method, they can also develop calmness there. Sometimes you use chanting as an object of meditation, you can also develop calmness, or what we call focusing of the mind there. Because you just repetitively repeat those words. It's like focusing on those words. And most of them tie to the breath, or any of the activity of the body. So if you tie to the activity of the body, then it can be your rising and falling of the abdomen, or sometimes it can also be the dynamic meditation where they do under the long po tien, where they move the hand, yeah, and they develop mindfulness. And that one is actually more safe, where you develop all the hand movement and you develop mindfulness of the activity of the kaya, the movement. Yeah. But there is another form of object of meditation which they call kasinas, kasina. Or in the Hindu tradition or practice, they have the 40 object of meditation for concentration. Then under the 40, I think 10 of them, if I'm not mistaken, are called kasinas. So this kasina can be light kasina. They focus on light. Then they repeat it. Then sometimes they focus on water element, heat element, then like earth element, yeah, than wind element. So various type of object of meditation has been used since the ancient day until now. And this 40 object of meditation was quite popular in the early 60s when I started my search for all this. Then later on in the 70s, when I was in Form 5, Form 6, then I went to university. That time, I went through a lot of this type of practice being taught. Then, depending on your personality and how you develop your past training, for me, I very automatically went back to the breathing. My breathing became very natural. Then I developed mindfulness of the in and out breath very easily. Then later on, this breath become like absorbed into what we call absorption. Like the mindfulness become continuous. Then it went in so deep until it go beyond the PT. Then it experienced Sukhang. Sukhang is the second genic state after PT. PT is spiritual joy, spiritual calmness. Then Sukhang is spiritual blissfulness of mind. The mind become intensely blissful, really blissful. You feel so blissful inside there. And there is so much joy. The blissfulness sometimes can make like your hair stand. but you feel so good, so blissful. Then later on, as you continue to develop the absorption, it become absorbed into it. It become very calm. Then this absorption goes into apana samadhi. You are no longer at upachara samadhi. The upachara is initially is kanika samadhi, momentary samadhi. Then upachara is, they call it the threshold before you go into apana. It is a lot more calmer than the what they call kanika samadhi or moment to moment samadhi. But it is not that calm until we enter absorption. When you enter absorption, your whole mind is absorbed into it. There is no thought at all. And you will really develop that calmness, the tranquility, the piti, sukhang, and the absorption. Now once you hit the absorption, your mind can like shut off the senses. Yeah, I tried it before. Then your hearing consciousness, you can like cut it off. Inside the absorption, you can cut it off and stay inside. And you become very calm, very peaceful. Yeah. But that one is what we call absorption meditative calmness, where you went in and stay inside. The Buddha called it citta viveka, means mental seclusion. The mind secludes itself from external sense contact or basis. And in that state, you can become very calm. Then you can build up the energy from there. And if you don't know how to manage it, then it can become a problem. Then it will develop into very strong energy state that will move up, and they call it jhanas. Jhanas. So under the five jhanic factor to develop jhana, the first two is called vitaka and vichara. Vitaka is to apply your thought there. Initial application of thought. Then vichara is sustained thought. You sustain your thought there. So any object of meditation you have, if you apply the thought on the object of meditation, then you sustain it there. then it will develop into piti. It will make you very calm. Then you experience the spiritual calmness or spiritual joy. Then after that, you continue until it become more refined, more peaceful, and more quiet. Then you experience the blissfulness of mind. Instead of just spiritual joy or calmness, you become very blissful. Then after that, you went into one-pointedness. The mind become one-pointed. Everything is stay at that point. No thought at all. Like, it just, the awareness is there. It's there. It's there. And it stay there, absorb there because of the energy. Then they build up all the jhana, the energy. Whereas the absorption one, you develop continuous mindfulness until you absorb in, then it shut off your senses. Then you can release it out later on so that you can go back to normal consciousness. Then all this jhanic state, you can actually carry it with you throughout the day. You have trained it very well and developed it very well. So coming back to your question of what should you do? For me, I teach awareness-based meditation. That's why you must read these two books that I mentioned just now. This book can see Ultimate Realization to Transcend Life. There is a section on awareness-based meditation. It's on page... Okay, page 3. So page 3 is mentioned there. Awareness-based meditation. As usual, we will have half an hour of awareness-based meditation. We will turn off the light for you to proceed with your meditation. This awareness-based meditation is very important because it can help us develop the inner awareness or sati or mindfulness within. Then there are four support to develop this awareness-based meditation. And these four support are relax, maintain awareness, stabilize the awareness, and the last support is trust. As explained previously, the silent mind without thought is awareness itself. So when you are without thought, that itself is already awareness. So mindfulness is basically an awareness before the knowing. The knowing means for you to know something, you must perceive it, the thought will arise. So when you are aware before the knowing without thought, that awareness itself is sati or mindfulness. Therefore, we need to develop the awareness and allow it to stabilize. That is why the second support after relaxing the body and the mind is to maintain awareness. However, it's very difficult to maintain awareness. This is the part that most people find it difficult. So maintaining awareness does not involve creating more thinking or thought and aggregates of mind. It simply means being aware of whatever that arises at your sixth sense door, whether it's a hearing, smell, taste, touch, sight, or thought consciousness, and allowing them to pass through without further engagement. After that, refrain from continuing to think. After being aware, if you proceed to perceive and engage in the thinking, the mundane mind will arise. If you constantly do that, it develops into habitual tendency, eventually leading you to become heedlessly lost in thought. That is how it happens. That is why maintaining awareness can be challenging. To maintain awareness means to refrain from thinking, knowing, and not going beyond the pure perception, means the awareness. After perceiving through the hearing consciousness or other senses like smell, taste, tactile, and thought consciousness or thought consciousness, you simply remain silent and just maintain the awareness. Then let it naturally fade away. Just be aware without attempting to know or engage in any activity. Relax, maintain awareness, and allow the mind to settle down. The third support following the relaxation of body and mind and maintaining awareness is to stabilize the awareness by continuously allowing to remain in that state of awareness without thought. Now, this is not easy, but can be done. By doing so, your awareness will stabilize, allowing you to develop a very good and profound understanding of what this inherent awareness nature within is all about. Realizing this pure awareness nature, which is beyond thought, is very important. However, this pure awareness nature is closely intertwined with the thought. As thought arises very quickly from this pure awareness nature, this is why many people lacking proper understanding cannot realize pure awareness. They are accustomed to the mundane thinking mind and thought process. Now, this is where they get lost. They rely heavily on the thought process and they think a lot as they have been conditioned to do so since birth. Without thought, they feel they are unable to function or to live life. This factor contributes to why most people cannot develop this inner awareness to be mindful and to be aware most of the time. Understand this and you will make progress. Now I will allow you to develop the awareness within on your own. Remember the first three or the four support, relax the body and the mind, maintaining awareness without trying to know or do anything, or simply just be aware, and then stabilize the awareness. For those who are accustomed to using specific object of meditation, this is the part just now I explained, such as anapanasati, which is mindfulness of the in and out breath, or any other object of meditation that you are familiar with to meditate, you can use it as a skillful means to anchor your mind or awareness to develop mindfulness. It is your choice. However, you can grasp the understanding, you can just use the four support that I have taught you, especially the first three support to develop mindfulness or the awareness within yourself. It is much faster. Then you can stay there to stabilize the awareness. If you can do that, you will progress and understand all the Buddha's teaching quickly. To be able to develop this awareness or mindfulness within is very important. To maintain that state of awareness means you must stay in that state of awareness without thought for as long as you can. But most people cannot do so. They need a lot of training and understanding to develop that state of awareness. For those who have done it before, it is very easy. Not a problem at all. Hopefully with faith and this understanding, you can develop the mindfulness of the awareness within. Now I will let you meditate on your own to develop the awareness within. For those who have already trained their mind and their awareness has stabilized, they can move on to do the fourth support, which is trust. So here, trust, you read on, you will understand better. Trust your inner nature to develop the meditative movement. Silence everything and let the awareness stay at the heart area. Then do not try to know through verbalization or mental chattering. Do not try to know and create perception and thinking. Just let the awareness nature move on its own and let it detect whatever on its own. Whatever happens, just let it be. You must trust your own awareness nature within to do the meditation. Do not allow the thought, the memory, and the thinking to interfere. All these are the mundane aspects of the thinking mind. The Monday mind is not your pure awareness nature. The pure awareness nature is responsible for the arising of thought. See it clearly so that you understand. When you train your mind to develop this inner awareness until it stabilizes, you can see all the mental movement very clearly. Then you will come to understand that you have two minds. One is the true mind or the silent mind or the awareness nature within, before the arising of thought. The other one is the creation from the pure awareness nature by the karmic process. All these movements and the arising of the thought are from the pure awareness nature. All this will become clear and you will develop clear understanding. The first real and successful progress for those cultivating this awareness-based meditation is to realize this awareness nature within. This awareness nature is your true mind, your meditative mind. This is the one that can develop wisdom and understanding, and it can be awakened too. Use it to insight into phenomena, to observe silently, to understand to develop the understanding and to realize the inner awareness nature, then stabilize it. Okay, then you can read on if you want to develop further understanding. Eh? So all these are the instruction given for cultivator of the way to develop awareness-based meditation. Then like I explained just now, huh? Hopefully, Sister Desi can understand. Most people find it very difficult to focus or concentrate the mind because the mind wanders off very fast, and you easily get lost in thought, develop what they call restlessness of mind. The mind, like restless, cannot settle down, think a lot. Then people will advise you to focus or concentrate. And most of them will come up with method, technique, or object of meditation for you to do all those things. Then, like I explained, the difference between thought-based meditation, which is doing the noting, the focusing, the verbalization, and also what we call verbalization. There is another word, chattering. Because the mundane mind think a lot, it chatter a lot. Inside there, like you're talking to yourself. Then you verbalize. These are the things that normal people's mind that are not trained. They do a lot of this thinking. That's why my teacher Ajayantra always say, the untrained mind think a lot. Then he said, most human beings, they think a lot, is it? They are not in the state of samadhi. They are not in the state of awareness. They are most of the time lost in thought. So with this, hopefully, you can understand. Desi?
Yes. Thank you so much. That was a good explanation. Thank you.
Okay, good. Hopefully, you can also listen to this recording again when the when the recording has been like edited and properly released out in maybe a few days time, 1 or 2 days time. Then from there, through your re-listening, you can understand better. Then that two book I told you, go and read it out. The other one is this one, Path to Nibbana. This one also very good. It also have a section where the instruction to develop awareness-based meditation are there. Just go through it. Okay, thank you so much, Desi.
Brother, good evening.
Good evening.
Sorry, just now I was away.
never mind. 没事.
Sorry.
Desi asked that question about what she must do during meditation. Should she focus or concentrate on the breath and all those things?
Okay. Okay, Brother Dio, we have been kind of like, you know, rest for a while.
Yeah, quite a long time.
Yes,
two weeks, I think.
Yeah, so yesterday, 你分享的那个,不是,拜师你分享的那个,那个...
Yes, that one very good. The Thursday class was very good.
虽然我没有上课,但是我看到那个 whiteboard, now book reflect and contemplate on how prices.
Yeah.
然后我刚才我就下午听回那个 sharing 我想哇这是 Brother Dio 的分享我好像又更加明白。对对对
It's different again.
And
we all can understand it better already.
Yeah,
because the depth of it is different now.
Yeah, 它就是 like 你 reflect how thought arises 的 from Brad Dio 讲的那个 spacious
awareness then how you sharing it to perceive
我很清楚哦 Brad Dio
现在很清楚了是吧
清楚非常清楚而且我想讲的是 就是很多人都在 lost in thought.
Yeah, yeah, 就, very true, yes.
Yeah, 比方说昨天我去吃午餐, 然后那个拿 order 那个哥好像就是反正他就是那个 mind 不在那边这样。对对对对对。然后等到我吃完后,然后他就说27块半,然后我就讲,我就讲, 我就给他50块,我再讲,我有5毛,我就给他5毛,他就找22块给我,然后,excuse me, 我刚给,少了一块,对,我就讲27块半不是应该找,他还是听不懂我讲什么,我讲很久,你就看到他的
mind,对对对,不在听, is not attentively listening.
The thought has like cluttered her mind. And
对对对。So, I
try so hard to try to explain. 什么他拿那个calculator给我看, 50块减掉27块半, 不是找你22块? 很奇怪, 就是你看到他们...
是咯,是咯。
Lost in thought,那种...
Lost in thought, yes. Very common.
Yes, so, I was like, wow. 哇,真的是,如果你没有那个awareness...
Yeah, without awareness and mindfulness, no clarity, you cannot really handle life well.
Yeah.
That most people are trapped in that.
Yeah, that's right.
They need to train until they become very good at it. So some of them are through constant training, means repetitive work. They develop it until so routine. When they become very routine, they calculate very fast, they do things also very fast. But that one is all through memory and repetitive training. It's like training to be good in a game or in a type of activity that we do in life. So this constant repetitive, we call it the mechanical thing that we develop as training, like constant practice, until you become very skillful, then it become like very natural, a part of you. So that one become a skill. So if they develop it well, it's not so bad. It's so much better than heedlessness. But before that, they have a lot of heedlessness. They try to cover a lot of things within the same period, but they are not trained. So they find it not easy to handle. Then the heedlessness sometimes will create problem for them. They make mistake. Then sometimes they charge wrongly. And most of the time they charge wrongly by overcharging. But some, they really miss out certain things. Then, like for our case, normally we will check the bill. Then whatever miss out, we can see it one. We are quite sharp one. Then we will tell the lady in charge or lady boss. Like last time we went to sing part, I remember. After they miss out, then we saw, then I said, never mind. The next time we go back, we pay her. Then when we told her she forgot to calculate that one or she missed out that item, she was so surprised. Still got customers so honest, willing to pay them back the difference that has been missed out. That's why after that, they become very like appreciative. And they have a lot of gratitude towards how we really develop the sincerity and honesty towards paying. Then we become close customer friend of theirs. And they like to talk to us. And they trust us after that. So all this, you can develop them when you have the mindfulness and the awareness. To see and understand all this clearly. So like your case, which is very good, because through your own understanding and training, you can see how people at the restaurant or at the shop, they become heedless. They are lost in thought. Most of the time they are so busy until a lot of things distract them. And the way they actually go about doing that thing, you can see they are really in a hurry, like not enough rest like that. Like throughout the day very busy. Then after they finish, they appear like very tired. But of course there is a joy. We have good business. When business is good, there is a joy. When business is bad, they feel very like unhappy. How come no customer and all those things? Then sometimes when we see the shop without customer or what, then when we decide to go in and try, they look so happy, you know, seeing customer coming in. So you can observe them, you see the joy in them. Then the one that is very busy, they will tell you the other way around. They will ask you, you got any reservation or not? Don't have sorry, no table. So you can see their reaction too. Because for them, because business is so good, they don't have to develop those courtesy and all those things. They just say what they like to say. And all this come about because of the way they have been subject to the worldly condition that manifests. That's why I say, when we are mindful, aware, when we have the Dhamma, we can observe a lot of things. We can develop understanding of a lot of things. And things that we understand and able to observe and develop the understanding, most people are not able to, because they are normal living beings without Dhamma, not mindful at all, hardly mindful. They are busy repeating their routine and depend on the business environment, condition and situation. They just manifest accordingly. That's why a lot of them are heedless. In that sense, we call them heedless. Heedless means hardly aware, hardly mindful, hardly with the awareness within to observe, to understand. No clarity. We are most of the time lost in thought, cluttered by their thinking, their sense perception, their reaction to sense. Then their views, opinion, conditioning, belief system keep on manifesting to stir their mind, to react. Then they just like mechanical in their approach to things. There's a habitual tendency keep on arising. Very good. Sadhu, Alicia.
Ratio, actually, 真的，你在日常生活里面，如果我们没有 awareness 和还有那个所谓的 right view，我们
yeah, yeah, yeah.
你就被卷入那个所谓的一念之差，
对啊，
而且
就出问题了，
你会 condition 到你哦，哇，一连串就是来，我就叫好像一个连环转这样，
对
一
对对，
就 the whole noble eightfold path 就 collapse 了。
对对对，
所以最近我的事情就比较多。所以 maybe 那个有一点长，I think maybe next week 我才share
可
的。
以，do the sharing 啊，very good
但是我是觉得这几天我在读楞严经的时候，我看到里面所讲的每一个我们的 senses 啊，当我们 last breath 的时候，会
对。
manifest 很多很多很恐怖哦。我看了我都觉得哇哦，这么多，I mean, but 他《楞严经》里面讲的很 details，
Yeah,
他
very detail.
对他一个念头怎么样的去 condition 我们的东西，就好像哎呦万福不劫哦，我叫他就是来很难的，就是翻身这样哦，你要 go through of rebirth 又 rebirth 又 rebirth，可能你要转了好几次都不懂还。可以被拿回我们所谓的这个人生，
不容
所
易的
以
因为你
对，
了解了楞严经啊，你就知道啊，how living being fall 咯，it become what they are today 咯，and that is the end of the process where a lot of heedless thinking and heedless living already，它 become like 转到啊，好像你讲的啦，给它个 grain of thought 啊。很 happy 就等下拉到他比干嘛来，so lost 哦，totally lost 哦，and 真的回不到的这些人，这些人就是六道轮回在那边啊，游来游去啊，看不到，理解不到，everything is like trapped within the cycle of birth and death within the 31 plane of existence or the six。The sixth rhyme of rebirth and becoming. So, to have awareness, to trace back to the first thought of ignorance that condition living being into what they are now, to have that understanding is not easy. That's why you read through the Surangama Sutta with the Mandarin called Leng Yan Jing. It's actually very beautiful understanding when you understand it, because it's not easy. That Leng Yan Jing is a very difficult sutta. Without mindfulness and awareness, you cannot understand. Very good.
Yeah,
Now,
that's very true, brother. 几
对，
年前我试着去读这些所谓的这些经，其实真的不容易读不到。但是现在，with brother Joe 的 guide，
The understanding now you can understand
一
你
silently 读就不一样了。
对，and 你就 appreciate it a lot 哦。比如现在你读与 understanding 啊，the understanding give you a lot of joy, and it's like everything is so beautifully explained 哦，or expounded 哦。That's why all this. Beautiful Mahayana teaching, they are really beautiful when you understand.
Yeah, brother，我每次读都很多的发喜，
发起心，
很多发喜，因为就是好像有一种感觉是我很需要他这样子，所以
因
对。
为你已经经过了那个。Early years of depression, where you how you come out of it, then from there the learning start. Then you absorb very fast. You see the importance of it, and you see the beauty of understanding this teaching to let you understand how living being actually go through life and suffer and become so miserably entangled with all the mental suffering. Leading to physical suffering. So all these are related to the first noble truth of dukkha. Then from there, you move on to the second noble truth, the cause of its arising. Then you see them, you understand them. then you continue the cultivation to realize the cessation of dukkha. And then you realize this cessation can only happen when your wisdom has been perfected, when you have developed the Noble Eightfold Path understanding to overcome all evil, to transcend duality, to develop the understanding to cease your mind. So all this become very beautiful. The Four Noble Truths is three turning, leading to the final cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path. And when you know how to apply Noble Eightfold Path, your life becomes so different. It's like there is no more problem. Everything can be resolved through the Noble Eightfold Path. When you have the embodiment, everything is just the way it is. No more problem, no more issue. Very good, Sadhu. Yeah, okay. Let us rejoice. Rejoice with all the good sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then we do the sharing of merits. Akasata cha pumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu lokasasana etta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo Deo vasatkalena sasa sampati hito cha vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko emena punyang kamena mahame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Thank you. Sadhu.